Luke chapter 4 is absolutely one of the most astounding scriptures that I can imagine. I don't understand this, but I do. I'm starting to understand Luke chapter 4. Luke chapter 4 happens right after one of the most beautiful moments in time. Jesus went down into the River Jordan to be baptized, and the Holy Spirit came as a dove down, and the Father's voice said, "This is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased." There's an awful lot in there that I don't have time to go to, but here was the Trinity in this moment. What is the very, very next verse? Is Luke chapter 4, verse 1. The very next, there's a genealogy there, but the very next verse is verse 1 of chapter 4. And Jesus, being filled with the Holy Ghost, returned from Jordan and was led up of the Spirit into the wilderness. And notice that is not a small S. That is strange. Being 40 days tempted of the devil, and in those days he did eat nothing. And when they were ended, he afterwards was an hungered. And the devil said unto him, "If thou be the Son of God, command that this stone be made bread." Here we have the temptation, and I want us to understand this temptation. The temptation is back to Genesis chapter 3, when we were like gods, to know good and evil, to be able to direct our own destiny, to make our own decisions, to do what we think is right and best and good. An independent spirit, wanting to protect ourselves, all these things. And he says, if, he challenges him here. He says, if thou be the Son of God. What is he doing? He's challenging his identity, and he's challenging him to prove himself. There is so much going on in one verse, so much. If thou be the Son of God. You could do this. Okay? What if he would have? Would have that been wrong? And Jesus answered him, "It is written, when we're fighting warfare, spiritual warfare, the written word is absolutely a powerful thing. But you don't use it like a big stick. Like you're strong and you're going to do this, you're going to whack somebody. That's not how you do it. If you use the word that way, it has no power. It has to come through a yielded heart where you are yielding yourself to the written word. You're not protecting yourself. You're using the word of God and you're protecting yourself. You're living into dependence. The devil took him up into a high mountain and showed him the kingdoms of the world in a moment of time. This was an eternal experience, like they entered into eternity a little bit. And the Lord said, and the devil said unto him, "All this power will I give thee, and the glory of them, for this is delivered unto me." This is actually true. This was his to give. "And to whomsoever I will give it. If therefore thou wilt worship me, thou all shall be thine." This is what actually goes on in the dark world. This is what they actually do. This is why there is such a thing as Satan worship. There's a reward for it. They actually get something in return for it. They get a power. That power will eventually devastate their hearts. That power will completely erode them, where there's nothing left except a shell of a person. But the devil doesn't tell them that up front. It is after they're stuck, after they're trapped, that he then erodes them. And Jesus answered again, "Get thee behind me, Satan. It is written, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him alone shalt thou serve." And he brought him to Jerusalem and set him in the pinnacle of the temple and said, "If thou be the Son of God, cast thyself down from hence. For it is written, he shall give his angels charge over thee to keep thee. And in their hands they shall bear thee up, lest thou shalt dash thy foot against a stone." And Jesus said, It is said, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. Now, incredible, incredible, incredible amount of stuff there in that whole scripture. Satan is quoting scripture, but he's saying, he's preaching prosperity doctrine. He said, you don't dash your foot against the stone, but there was a cross. That's quite a bit of difference. Not dashing your foot against the stone, and the cross was there. And Jesus knew about the cross already. That's a lot of difference. But you see, Jesus was not a child sacrifice. He chose the cross. He could have avoided it at any given time. Any given time. The angels would have intervened and saved him. But he didn't